Now we're turning to Zephaniah chapter 3, and we'll just unite together in the word of prayer. Our loving God and our Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word to our hearts. We thank Thee that Thy word is truth, and we'd ask that Thou wouldst encourage us in Thy word as we gather at Thy feet. We pray that Thou wouldst bless us as we are here today, undertake for us as we consider Thy word, for Thy word is truth. And our God, most of all, we want a vision of our Saviour in this day, as we start a new year, this first Lord's Day of a new year, that we might catch the vision of our Saviour, and that we might be led close to His side. Stamp Thy word with blessing today, for it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. Our motto text for 2005 is found in verse 17 of Zephaniah chapter 3. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. The book of Zephaniah is a book that's not often studied by God's people. It's a prophecy which is almost wholly occupied with judgment and with the coming day of the Lord. And so we have to say at the outset that the ultimate fulfillment of what we're reading about here is in the day to come, in that day of great power and glory when the Lord Jesus will come again, the day of the Lord. The third chapter of the book here is one in which we find this great passage that gives hope to the people of God, and it speaks to Judah of restored blessing and restored favour and the blessing of the Lord upon them. And it is in that context that our text is ultimately found, in that day when God again will bless the people of Israel and they will restore it into blessing when they will see the Lord. However, the wonderful thing about the Word of God is that there are many levels of fulfillment. And we can see a lesson certainly for ourselves in the passage. And we can look, for example, at the conditions of the time, and we can see remarkable parallels with our day. First of all, you look at the dramatic verse in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 12. And the Lord says, "And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will He do evil." And the Lord says, these are people that will not escape. I will search Jerusalem with candles. Now the Lord doesn't need candles to search. The Lord knows where we are without candles. But it's a picture here. And the Lord is picturing the fact that He will search them out. They will not escape for their crime. And what is their crime? They said, this is their crime, they said, "The Lord will not do good, neither will He do evil." In other words, these people were living their lives as if God didn't matter. The Lord will do nothing. He will not do good and He'll not do evil. He's just up there in heaven somewhere, and we can do what we want, and God will not pay any attention to us, and He certainly will not chide us or do anything about what we do. The Lord will not do good, He will not do evil. In other words, the Lord will do nothing. And there are many people, we haven't looked far in our community and around us to see people who seem to believe that they can get away with anything, that the Lord will do nothing. Many people live their lives as if the Lord will do nothing. The Lord will do nothing about the way that they conduct their lives and the way that they conduct their affairs. But the Lord says, "I will search you out with candles." The Lord knows your heart today. And then notice something else about the context, which is a parallel with our day. Look at the immediate context here in verse 18 of Zephaniah 3. And the Lord says of the remnant here, He says of them, "I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden." And the solemn days of And the solemn assemblies of Israel were her glory. Those were the days of feast and the days of festival and the days of sacrifice. But you notice here that they were sorrowful for the solemn assemblies. They'd become a reproach.
Instead of being the blessing and the height of joy for Israel, they've become a shame. And again, we don't have to look too far in our land to see the solemn assemblies made a shame. We have only to look back at last Lord's Day, and you see how the solemn days, the Lord's Day, has been treated as a shame. There are many shops open on the Lord's Day, last Lord's Day, because of commercial greed. I saw on the internet an article which appeared in the Observer last week and was lamenting that people couldn't go to the bookish shops last Lord's Day. That was an awful pity that in Northern Ireland we were so uncivilized that you couldn't let people go to a bookish shop on the Lord's Day. Well, I'll tell you this, the more bookish shops are closed, the more civilized we will be. And the less gambling that we have in our community, and the less cause for broken homes that there are, the more civilized we will be. But there are people, and we look back, and we don't even have to look at days like last Lord's Day, but we see how that people are out cutting their lawns on the Lord's Day, and they are doing, the farmers are cutting the grass on the Lord's Day and doing unnecessary work that people wouldn't have done years ago. And the solemn assemblies are being treated as a shame. And of course, as we look at our land and we look around us, there's much cause for despair. We could get down today. We could say to ourselves, there's nothing that can be done. But I want you to see how that the Lord here in the book of Zephaniah, even though He is speaking about judgment, and speaking about the darkness of what Israel were doing, comes with a word of encouragement at the end of it all. And our motto text is a word of encouragement to us. As I thought of a motto text for 2005, somehow this text immediately came into my mind. It was as if there was no question about what the text would be. He says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." Men and women, this is an encouragement for our day. An encouragement as we start this year that the Lord is in the midst of us and He can save. And as we face a new year of labor and of toil and work for the Lord, thank God we can start it off with a word of encouragement. We got a word of encouragement last night. And thank God we have another word of encouragement today as we come to this motto text. For a few minutes, at the end of our meeting, we want to look at what the Lord would encourage us with. And particularly, we're going to look at the Lord, for the text here focuses upon the Lord. And there are a number of things about the Lord that we can see in this text of Scripture. The first thing that we can see is the person of the Lord. It says, "The Lord, thy God, in the midst of thee, is mighty." Who is the one who is mighty? It's the Lord, thy God. And you look there and you notice there in verse 17, the text, you notice the preeminence of the Lord. You notice that the word Lord there is written in capital letters. And of course, in the authorized version of the Scriptures, the name Jehovah, the divine name, is always translated by the word Lord being translated in capitals in the Old Testament Scriptures of the AV. And you see, this is the divine name. But the word, or the name Jehovah, is very often used to emphasize the fact that the Lord is the unchanging God. He's the God that's ever the same. And He's never moved. He's never changed by events. He's always the same yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never, glory to His name. And we live in a world of change. We look at the changes that are taking place. We see the rise of Islamic terrorism. And of course, the governments of this world, some of them are seeking to appease the terrorists. But the only thing that you do by appeasing terrorists is to raise more terrorists. And we could look at our world and see all that is taking place. We see the rise of bureaucracy, the European Union. We have a commission now, the new commission, which is a majority of them are ex-communists. And they're trying to impose laws upon us that would take away our freedom. And we need to watch what is taking place around us and in the world today. And there are changes in this world. And this world is moving ever closer to that time when there'll be a great dictator who will arise and he will seek to rule this world. And our democracy is slipping away. And we are seeing dictatorship on every side. And we need to see what is taking place. But thank God, in the midst of the world of change, we have a God that does not change. In the midst of all the disasters and all the turmoil and the trouble that we face in the world and individually, we have a God that's still the same. He's the preeminent God. And He's the God who fulfills His promises. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And thank God this preeminent God is the God who is in the midst of us. He's here to be with us. And not only is He the preeminent God, but thank God He's the personal God. The Lord, thy God, in the midst of thee. And it's a one thing to realize that we can go to a preeminent God, a God who hears and answers prayer, a God who fulfills His promises, a God who is mighty. Thank God we can go to that God. But also we can say He, many of us here today can say it anyway, He is my God. Can you say that today? He's my God. The Lord, thy God, in the midst of thee, is mighty. Oh, what a wonderful thing to say. He's mine. He's my Father. He is one to whom I can come in every time of need. And I can bring my requests and my needs to Him because He is mine. I hope that you can say that today. There are some of you who can't say it. You can't say He's the Lord my God, for you're not saved. Man and woman, if you're not saved today, the very first thing that you should do at the very outset of this year is come and bow the knee before the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him be your Savior. You need Him today. You need Him. You need to be able to say that He's the Lord, my God. Because you can't draw near to Him if you don't know Him. And we notice the person of the Lord here. The Lord, thy God, in the midst of thee, is mighty. But not only do we notice the person of the Lord, but notice the position of the Lord here. He's in the midst. Not a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful comfort that not only is He mine, but He is near. And not a wonderful thing. Not only is He a mighty God, and not only is He my God, but He's near me. Every place I go and every step I take, He's there. He's in the midst of His people. Where two or three are met together, there He is in the midst. Particularly when we meet together in a fashion like this, He is in the midst of us. He's near. He's not far off. He's not away off there where He can't see us, doesn't know our troubles and our trials and our circumstances and our difficulties. He's near. He's in the midst. You know, that's a wonderful thing. Because that is the place where we can reach out and touch Him. If somebody's in the midst of you, you can reach out. He's not very far away. If somebody's in the midst of a group of people, then that person there, he's right in the middle, and you can reach out. We think of the disciples at the time when the Lord had been crucified and they were met together for fear of the Jews in that upper room. And it says that the Lord came in the midst of them. In John 20 and verse 19 it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. It's always a thing of peace. It's always a thing of blessing. You always find peace when the Lord is near. You can have many troubles. That's the first thing that the Lord says when He comes and stands in the midst. Peace be unto you. Have you missed peace? Have you missed being filled with troubles and trials? Oh, remember that the Lord's in the midst. He's there for you to reach out and touch Him as He passes by. He's there to be with you and to help you. And that place in the midst is a place of assurance that He's near at hand. It's a place where He is immediately present. He's among His people. And He's in the midst here. He sends His Holy Spirit to enlighten and convince and comfort and clothe us with spiritual power. That's what He's in the midst of us to do. And you know, if we have the Lord in the midst of us, it doesn't matter what the world might think of us. It doesn't matter how people may scorn us and mock us. It doesn't matter though all hell is ranged against us. If the Lord is in the midst of us, what need we fear? You know what used to be the practice in ancient times when the people were discouraged? That the king would ride out in the front of the troops and they would cheer as he went along and they would know that the king was there. They start before the Battle of the Boyne. There was a shot fired that hit King William. And he was wounded, and the word went round the troops the night before the battle that King William was dead. But King William got on his horse just before the Battle of the Boyne and rode round the troops. And as the troops saw that King William was there, it raised the troops, for they knew that the king was with them. And I thank God that the King of Kings is with us. He's with us. He's not dead today. There was a movement away back in the 1960s that said God is dead. The movement's dead, but God's not. God's still on the throne, and He will remember His own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, He never will leave us alone. It's a place of assurance He's in the midst, but it's also the place of authority. Because in those days, a teacher would stand in the midst of his pupils, and they would give respect to Him, and they would learn from Him, because He was in the midst. Of course, we have much to learn this year. Many things, many lessons to learn as we go along the path of life. Never think that you've learned everything, for you haven't. You have many things to learn. There are many lessons that we're going to learn along the path of 2005, I'm sure. And the Lord wants you to learn those lessons. Now, don't learn the devil's lessons this year. The devil wants to teach you things and get you diverted and get you off into the wrong place. But learn the Lord's lessons and be in the place where God would teach you. And get along to the place where God's Word is preached. And read His Word day by day. For we want the Lord to be in the midst. Don't grieve Him. You know, if we grieve the Holy Spirit, we can have His presence depart from us. We can have the presence of God shut off from us. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit this year. But make sure that the Lord is in the midst. So we see the person of the Lord, and we notice the position of the Lord. But notice also the power of the Lord. You notice that the Lord, thy God, He's the preeminent God. He's the person of God. He's our God. He's the present God. He's in the midst of us. But also, He's the powerful God. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. Not a wonderful thing. He will save. Now, of course, the first reference there is the fact that He will save His people. It's the fact that the Lord is able to save His people from their enemies. And there are those that wish would harm the work of God. But you know, the Lord's able to save. He'll save our land. He can save the cause of the gospel. He will save that. His power to do that. But also His power to save souls. And He's able to cause the cause of Christ to flourish. You know what we need, men and women, this year? We need a revival. We need God to step in. And there are thousands of souls that need to be saved. There are those today that hate and despise the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God we can certainly say what the prophet Isaiah said. In Isaiah 59 and verse 1 he said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear." And thank God He can save today. He can save. He will save. You notice the certainty of it there. It doesn't even say that He can save. It says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty." He will save. He will save. And we're glad of hearing of those that God has been saving that have been drawn to Christ in the last number of days. But you know, there are those among our families, and we've been praying for them. The Lord not only can save, but He will save. And there are those in our neighborhoods for whom we have been praying. And the Lord has put the burden on our hearts and on our souls. And not only the Lord can save, but He will save. He will save. And I'm praying, and we're looking for the fact that the Lord will save. The Lord will save you, dear friend. The Lord will save those of you that are not saved. You youngsters, the children here. Some of you need to be saved. Older people here, you need to be saved. Why not come this first Lord's Day of 2005, make it a red letter day. He will save. There's a certainty there. But notice the cause of salvation, not only the certainty of it, but the cause of it, He will save. The Lord saves. Of course, there are many people that have many ideas about how you can save society today. And there are discussions going on at the minute about our world and the way that things are going, and all sorts of ideas are put forward as to what we should do in the world and how we should treat people. And there are people who say, well, my philosophy is the one that will meet the need. There are people that say, well, we redistribute the wealth and that will help and everybody will be well off and we will all do well. Well, of course, everybody needs to be well off. We're not against that in that sense. But that's not going to solve the problems of the world. We have the Mormons and they say, well, go by our religion, you'll be saved. The Jehovah's Witnesses say, walk in our ways, and if you belong to our church, you can be saved. But outside our body, you can't be saved. There are those with New Age philosophies, and they say, well, you're your own God, or you look within you, and you'll find the peace that you need. No, what does it say here? He will save. He will save. It's only when this land begins to turn again to God, it's only when our families begin to turn again to God, when we put God first, that we will see the deliverance that we need. And, oh, man or woman individually, isn't that what we need to do first? We need to put God first. We need to put God first. For He will save. He'll save in your family. He'll save in your difficulty. He will save. But you've got to come and put Him first. And not only do we see the cause of salvation, but notice the continuation of it, because in the Old Testament, salvation not only included being saved from the bondage of sin, but it meant a continual salvation that God preserved, in other words. God didn't just bring His people out of the land of Egypt to dump them in the wilderness, but He brought them along, and as it were, He saved them day by day. There was that continuation of salvation. When God saves, He continues to save day by day in that sense that He preserves His people and keeps us in His way. And that's what God will do for us in 2005. He will continue to save and continue to keep His people as we trust in Him. He can keep us along the rough paths of life and along the mountain steeps and along the difficult paths of 2005. He will save. So we see the person of the Lord, the position of the Lord, the person of the Lord, He's the Lord thy God. The position, He's in the midst. We see His power, He's mighty. But then notice the praise of the Lord here. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. Notice how Jehovah, the living God here, is described as brooding over the living church with pleasure. He's glad about His people. He's glad about the people He has saved. Now, I suppose that those that are engaged in saving people, doctors or nurses or paramedics or those type of people, it becomes a job to them. Now, they are certainly glad when they can save lives, but they become professional in it. And they're glad when they can save lives, but they don't know the person, really, that they are saving the life of. Don't really know who they are, don't know much about them, and they're glad that they can save life, but they certainly don't rejoice about it, they don't sing about it. But here is the Lord, and He sings about it. He rejoices, and it says in the Bible that there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. Some people think that's the angels singing, but it says there's joy in the presence of the angels. That's the Lord singing. It's the Lord joying, rejoicing. Remember the story of the prodigal son. When the lost son came home, what did the father say? He said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He is lost and is found. And I'm praying at the end of this year there will be great joy, not only in heaven, but in our own hearts, as we look back and hear and remember those that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We've been praying for you, men and women. We've been praying for those of you that are not saved. And we want to rejoice over you. But not only will the Lord rejoice, but it says He will rest. He rests in His love. There's wonderful meaning in that phrase as well. But one of the meanings is that the Lord will rest satisfied in His love. We thought about that when we were looking at Isaiah 53 verse 11. It says, He shall save the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He's satisfied with his work. It's good to be satisfied. You know, it'll be a wonderful day when we as God's people are satisfied, because we're always looking for more, looking for more. But the Lord rests in His love. The Hebrew phrase there actually means that He's silent in His love. He's so happy, as it were, if this was possible, that He can't speak. That's how great the love of God is to those that are sinners. My, to think that if you were to be saved today, that God would be so glad, would be almost as if He couldn't speak. And that's a wonderful thought. You know, there's nobody that cares for you like the Lord Jesus Christ. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend like He. No one else could take the scorn and trouble from me. There's no other friend like He. No other friend. What love. He rests in His love. And then, sometimes the silence is broken, and it says, He will joy over thee with singing. You didn't know the Lord could sing. There's singing in heaven. Sometimes people mark holiness by the length of their face. But now they're singing in heaven. There's joy in heaven. And maybe this is the day that God has ordained that you should be saved. That there'll be joy in the presence of the angels. And I, with all my heart, I'm looking, as we look back upon this year, as we come to the end of 2005, if the Lord wills to bring us to that place. Many of us are there at the end of 2005. Who knows what a day may bring forth. But if we're there at the end of 2005, God willing, that we'll look back and we'll be able to rejoice that the Lord saved you, and the Lord saved your family, and the Lord saved the children of your family, and your brothers, and your husbands, wives, mothers, fathers. God has saved them. He will save. He can save. He has saved in the past. He can still save today. Do we believe it? Let's pray with all of our hearts that God will step in mighty power. Let's give our time to the week of prayer in particular. And let's really pray that God will step in mighty blessing in this year. The Lord thy God, in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our Father, we do thank Thee for Thy precious word today. We thank Thee for the singing in heaven. We bless Thee that we have a happy God today. And we bless that He sings over His people. And our God, we pray today that there may be those that will be brought into that number who will be saved by the grace and power of God. Help us, our God, as we look to Thee, and speak on when the voice of man is silent. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask these things.